The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're so glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register booklet you should find on the inside aisle of your pew and pass it down. Make sure everyone gets the chance to sign it. If you're visiting with us today, we're especially glad that you are here and hope you experience a warm welcome here at our church. Invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin. We'll start with the insert. This Wednesday, is it hard to believe that this Wednesday is May? Yeah, but this Wednesday is May 1st, so this Wednesday at 5:30 we'll have our meal called Gem Night. It's open to anybody, so if you're first time here, we'd be glad for you to sign up and come. You see, we have a wonderful meal at a great price. And we'll also have a special guest, Lieutenant Derek Smith of the Salvation Army will be with us to give us a brief presentation about the food pantry ministry that we support. So today's the last day to sign up, so if you haven't signed up yet, go ahead and sign up, and we'd be glad to see you on Wednesday. Notice that next Sunday will be our Play School Sunday. We'd love for you to come and support them and hear. They always do a great job singing, so I invite you to come for that special Sunday next Sunday. Look with me now at our prayer concerns. Continue to pray for Ellie Key. She is now at Liberty Commons receiving rehab for her hip replacement surgery. And then ask your special prayers for Billy Hare and for her husband Bob. Billy had surgery at Duke on Friday. I got to see her yesterday. And I think she's just doing very well for all that she has been through. But she still has her sense of humor, because I told her that. Told her how good she looked. She said, everybody that comes in here says that, but you get in this bed and see how it feels, you know. Which I understand. But just continue to pray. It will be a long recovery from this surgery, so pray for her. She'll be at Duke for a few days more yet, so be in prayer for Billy. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Well, let me give a word of praise then. If you'll look in your bulletin at the order of worship, we have some brand new members today. We love all of our members. We especially love to have new members. Bob and Ann Crawford are joining our church today. They met with the elders and myself before worship. Let me tell you a little bit about them. They actually came to visit this church one Sunday intending just to visit, but they ended up staying and coming back. So they've been coming for a number of months and really have enjoyed being with us. Anne was born in Brazil because her parents were missionaries to Brazil, in Brazil for about 40 years. She came back to the States to go to college and met Bob, and she did not go back to Brazil. She stayed with Bob, and Bob ended up, Bob's a doctor. He was in family practice for a while, went back and did his work to become an ophthalmologist, and he served in that capacity for about 30-some years. Actually was in training at the same time as Bill Klein, Sally's husband Bill. But we're so thankful for Bob and Ann. They live at Village at Brookwood, and we're so thankful to have them as the newest members of Graham Presbyterian Church. So, Bob and Ann, would you please stand? We want to welcome you. If you get a chance, make sure you welcome them. We're so glad to have both of you. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. We'll join our voices together. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord, we have come together in this place for the purpose of worshiping you. Lord, you are God, whether we worship you or not. And yet we want to respond to all that you have done for us by declaring that you indeed are our God. You are worthy to be praised. We want to thank you for all of the love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So help us to do that as we worship you in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Every time I sing that, I think, you know, that's our story. That's who we are. We say we believe in God, and then, you know, we wander away. We don't do all the things that God has called us to do. So let's be honest and confess that before the Lord as we pray the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all of your wonderful gifts. Some of us have been blessed with loving families, and some of us have not. Sometimes we struggle with our family relationships because we are disappointed that we do not receive the kind of love for which we hope. Help us in the midst of our struggles to keep our hope centered in you, even when we face the failures and heartaches that our lives bring. We pray through our risen Lord Jesus. Amen. Scripture tells us God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our sins, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of words, and it's a lot of spiritual truth, and sometimes we hear it and it kind of goes over our heads. But the bottom line is, in spite of our sin, God has been rich in his love to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite the children now to come forward as we take up our Pennies for Hunger offering. As they're coming, why don't you speak to someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today. All right. Thank you very much. You would not like what? Okay. All right. Well, the more we have in it, the less it sounds like that. Kind of cushions the blow, you know. Thank you very much. Great job. I like your ring. That's nice. Thank you. All right. We got everybody? Okay. All right. Almost a full pot today. You did a great job. Now, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. So you remember what we talked about? We talked about that Jesus is alive. Well, you know, one way people know that Jesus is still alive is when we help give them food to eat. And that's what this money will do. So thank you for helping. You make your praying hands. Listen to me as I pray. Dear God, thank you for every child here today. We pray that you will bless them. Help them to know that you love them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can head out now to Children's Church. Can't wait to be king. Wouldn't it be great to be a king or a queen? No one telling me what to do and when to do it. I could plan my day the way I wanted to plan it. Or if I wanted to, I could go by no plan at all. Let's see. Today I'll sleep until 10. No, let's make that 11. Better yet, let's make that 12. I'll get up immediately and order whatever I want to eat. Eat as much as I want, the way I want to eat it. And if the servants didn't bring it fast enough, guess what? I just get new servants. Then what should I do next? Let's see. Go for a ride? Go play golf? Go for a play or a concert? Or maybe I'll have the royal harem come in for a little visit. Oh, this is so tough, being king and having so many choices. Wouldn't it be great to be king, and not just any king, but king of God's people? King of the people of the God who brought the Egyptian Pharaoh to his knees with 10 horrible plagues. King of the people who were able to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. King of the people who crossed the Jordan and then went on a 31-0 winning streak against the Canaanites. Well, today we begin a series of sermons on the time period of Israel's history that contained a lot of triumph and tragedy. We'll be looking at stories of various kings and prophets. Today we look at the story of King Saul. He was the very first king in all the history of Israel, so he doesn't have to worry about following any precedent. He was the tallest man in Israel, so it was very easy for him to look down on everyone else. Before he became king, he claimed humility by saying that he was from the smallest tribe of Israel. Know which one that was? You got 12 choices. Benjamin. And by the way, just for trivia, guess who in the New Testament, a major person in the New Testament, was also from the tribe of Benjamin? Saul, later called Paul. Interesting. But as things have turned out for Saul, it has not been such a great thing to be king. Samuel has been a key figure in Israel's history, acting as a judge slash priest. He anointed Saul to be king, and now he's ready to retire. But one day, Saul is with his army at Gilgal. They're waiting for Samuel to come and offer a burnt offering before the battle to seek the Lord's favor. Well, Saul waits for Samuel to come day after day after day. He waits for 7 days. For some of you, wouldn't you agree with me, that's too long? Can you wait for anything for 7 days? I know that would be hard for me. Well, his soldiers are getting more and more afraid of the enemy every day. They're threatening to leave. And so Saul makes what we would call an executive decision. Okay? No more waiting for Samuel. He went ahead and made the offering himself. Well, wouldn't you know it, just as he finishes the offering, guess who arrives? Samuel. Samuel tells him that he has done a foolish thing, and as a result, his kingdom will not endure. That means his son will not be the next king, but Saul will remain king for the rest of his life. However, Saul continues to have to fight enemies on every side of the kingdom. Saul is forced to bring into his army all of the brave warriors of Israel. He needs them all. And that brings us to chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. So look in your Bibles with me. 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning on page 262 in your pew Bible. Some of these sermons this series I'll do differently from this one. But this one I just want to basically just focus on the story with you. So I've got an outline of 1 Samuel 15 in your bulletin if you want to follow along. First, verses 1 through 3, God's command. God gives a command. Verse 1, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Now, I'd like to skip over this part, but it's in there. It is harsh. I can't answer all your questions about it, but I will tell you that this ban that was placed, this ban of total destruction, was only placed on an entire people a couple of times in the Old Testament. It's not like it happens, you know, every time. And God did not pick a nation at random to obliterate. These Amalekites, some 200 years or so before, had attacked the Israelites when they were making their way through the desert. So you can look at it this way. God gave them over 200 years to repent, to come to their senses, to accept God's offers of mercy, but it had been 200 years and they had not. And so God said, it's time for judgment. So that's God's command. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 6, going a little bit out of order here. Skip down to verse 6 for the next one. Saul's compassion. Now we're going to see some tough things about Saul in this story, but here he does show compassion. Verse 6. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. You get the picture? The Amalekites are going to be destroyed. So he says to the Kenites, he gives them a heads up. Because you showed mercy, because you showed kindness, then I'm letting you know in advance so you can move out of the way so that you will not receive God's wrath. By the way, Moses' father-in-law was a Kenite, so there was a family connection there too. So Saul shows compassion. Then, back to verse 4, Saul's response, verses 4 to 5 and 7. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. And then skip down to verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. So you remember what God told him to do? Attack the Amalekites, destroy them, right? So does it sound like that Saul is responding to God's command in obedience? Yes, it does. He summons his troops. He attacks the Amalekites. But then beginning in verse 8, this is Saul's fall. Verses 8 to 33, Saul's fall. And there are lots of different steps to it as we see. Beginning in verse 8, he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. Now, the second half of that verse sounds like he's doing what God told him to do, right? But the first half shows you that he is not. He saved the king. See, with God, partial obedience is disobedience. Oh, but God, I did this and that and the other, but did you do it all? No. We know what that's like. We claim to obey God, and then we hold back in this area or that area. That's what Saul did. So look at verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag and, here's the rest of the story, not just the king, the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. You understand what Saul is doing here? God's told him to destroy it all, but he looks out at these animals that are so good. Oh, that would make a wonderful buffet. What a waste to destroy them. So, everything that looked good, he did not destroy. Was he obeying God? No. He was partially obeying God. He did a lot of what God told him to do, but he didn't do it all. And so God's word comes, I regret that I've made Saul king. I regret that Saul is even king, and Samuel is angry. Samuel, you can see in the story that Samuel is in line with God's way of thinking. Saul is not. And so Samuel is angry and cries out to the Lord all that night. I mean, he is so upset that he spends the night crying out to the Lord. Verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. See, Samuel was mourning all night over the lack of obedience and then God's word to Saul, I'm regretting that you're even king. That caused Samuel to mourn all night long. Did Saul mourn? No. He was off, gone off to do something to try to increase his poll numbers by setting up a monument in his own honor. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And we'll see that with Saul. So verse 13, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Now, anytime I meet somebody and they start by saying, oh, the Lord bless you, I'm already a little suspicious, you know. The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Liar. You did partially, but not fully. And this is one of the best lines in the whole story, maybe even all the stories of the Bible. Saul is saying, oh, I have destroyed it all just as God told me to do. I am obeying the Lord. Bah, bah. In the background, Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Are my ears fooling me here? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? See, he was lying. He was caught. And yet he lied. Ever done that? We probably all have. You get caught and then you lie. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, no, I would never do that. And then he shifted to blaming others. Verse 15, Saul answered, the soldiers, not I, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Notice the purpose, to sacrifice to the Lord your God. We weren't going to eat any of those animals. We were going to offer them as a sacrifice. But we totally destroyed the rest. Notice how when it's a sin, it's they, the soldiers. But when he describes obedience, it's in the first person, we. So when it's something wrong, it's them. You ever felt that way? I could have a great marriage if it weren't for her. Speaking theoretically, of course, not personally. I could be a good student if I had a better teacher. Those teachers are terrible. I could succeed at work if I had a better job. I could be a good Christian if I had better friends. Always blaming others. So verse 15, Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." And here, I read that again to add the part about offering them for sacrifice. Why did they spare the best, not any, meeny, miny, mo, but the best of the sheep and the cattle? To have a big barbecue, to throw a huge celebration party, to save for winter? No, to sacrifice. And notice the pronoun, to the Lord your God. One pronoun gives him away. He doesn't say, our God. He says, your God. You know, that doesn't seem like a lot of difference, but as I read that, I wondered how many times do I talk about God? Oh, yeah, God is close to that person. God is in relationship to that person, but I don't feel like God is in relationship to me. You know, your God, our God. So then, verse 16, Samuel says what I would have said, already said, enough. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And that's what a prophet does, bring God's word to God's people in a specific time and place. Let me tell you what the Lord said. Tell me, Saul replied. I guess he didn't have much choice, but I don't know that he really wants to hear it. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you've wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Can't Saul just come clean? Notice what he says. But I did obey the Lord. Haven't we already been through this? I went on a mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Even in his own sentence, he shows that he did not completely destroy it. The soldiers, again blaming others, took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Verse 22, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, then the Lord has rejected you as king. Don't you understand where the Lord's delight is? The Lord's delight is in obedience. Oh, but I come to church every Sunday. I sing the songs. I even tell the preacher every now and then he preached a good sermon, whether he did or not. You know, I do all these things. But he says, you know, that's all great, but that's not enough. God wants your heart. God wants heart obedience. Then Samuel said to Saul, Saul said to Samuel, rather, verse 24, I have sinned. Now we're getting closer to the truth. I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. You see how our confessions are. At first, we blame somebody else, and then as we get closer to the truth, it's like we're peeling back to get closer and closer to what actually happened. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. Sounds like he doesn't want to lose that kingship. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe. Not only does he want to hang on to the kingship, he does it physically by grabbing for Samuel's robe, and it tore. And Samuel said that's a symbolic act. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a human being that he should change his mind. In other words, it's done. Saul replied, takes another chance at a prayer of confession to see if it'll work. I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. You see what, even now that he's almost confessing almost all of his sin, he's not concerned about the Lord's glory, he's concerned about his own glory. So please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then we come to the end of the story, verse 32. Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains. And remember, God had told them to destroy them all. Saul had saved the king. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel, old man prophet Samuel, put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Now, this is not going to appear in any children's Bible storybooks. Not that kind of story. It's not a pretty picture. Again, I don't know that I have all the answers for it, but I do know God takes sin seriously. He had given the people 200 years of mercy, and now comes judgment. And so, the last part, verses 34 and 35, Samuel's grief and God's regret. We end on this note, Samuel's grief and God's regret. Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul until the day Samuel died. He did not go to see Saul again. Now, they were only 10 miles apart, and yet Samuel refused to go and see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. In his heart, he mourned, but yet he said, that's it, I'm not going to go. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. It's a sad story, isn't it? A lot of sad things in it, but I want to just invite you to think about three things here at the end that we can learn from Saul in this story. Number one, don't waste your blessings. Saul had so many blessings in his life. He was the tallest. He was recognized as the greatest. He was chosen to lead God's people and be the very first one, and had so many things going for him, so many blessings in his life, so many people behind him to encourage him, and yet he wasted all of that. You've got blessings in your life. You might not feel like you have as many as others, but you've got a lot. If you stop and really think about it, don't waste them. Number two, don't waste your influence. Saul had a huge influence as the king. He could have influenced people toward God, toward obeying God, toward doing what God said, and yet he did not. You have a sphere of influence in your life. Maybe it's children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends, co-workers, people at school that you know. You might not recognize it, but you have a sphere of influence. You know what? You influence me. Some of you have been a great encouragement to me. At times, some of you have not. We're all that way. But yet and still, you have had an influence. We influence each other. We have this sphere. Sometimes we don't want to own up to it, but we do. We influence. Don't waste your influence. Use it to teach other people how important God is in your life, how important you want God to be in your life. And then number three, don't waste your time. Now, the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't waste the time that God has given you. God gave Saul time to lead God's people, and he blew it. God's given you time. Now, some of you will say to me, oh, Steve, I've wasted time, but you know, I'm toward the end now. I'm getting old, and I don't have much time left. You have today. I don't care, young or old or anywhere in between, however you classify yourself, you've got today, you've got right now. Don't waste today. Don't waste the time that God has given you. Don't say to the Lord, well, you know, I'm through, I'm done. You know, I may have served you in the past, but, you know, that's all in the past now. No, God wants you to serve him today, right here, right now. Don't waste the time that God has given you. As I look at Saul, I mean, there's a lot to regret, as God said, a lot to be sad about what might have been. But as I look at us today, I think, you know, let's learn from Saul's mistakes. Let's make sure that we are using what God has given us to obey him and to give glory to him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for all of the stories in Scripture that teach us about various human beings and the problems they've had, mistakes that they made. Ultimately, Lord, though, the stories are about you, what you did in Saul's life, in Samuel's life, and how you worked. So help us to keep our focus on you and know, Lord, that you are a God of great compassion and mercy for a long, long time. But then there comes a day when it's time for judgment. So, Lord, help us to make sure that we are living our lives in a way that we're not wasting your mercy. Indeed, that we are seeking to follow you and be true to you and be obedient to what you've called us to do. Lord, help us not to waste our blessings, our influence, or our time, but to use them for you. Lord, we pray for those that are in need this day, especially we think about Billy Hare and pray that you would continue to be with her as she heals and give her strength. And Lord, for Ellie Key as she recovers from her surgery. And Lord, all the others that are on our prayer list, many who are facing cancer and treatments. Lord, especially think about Hazel Guthrie here with us today as she continues on her journey. And we pray that you would strengthen and encourage her, Lord. Lord, again, we have a sphere of influence. So when some are in need, we can help. Sometimes we don't think that matters, but it does. What if we were in need and nobody reached out to us? So, Lord, help us to reach out to those that are at a time of weakness and that you would help us to show your strength to them, Lord. Thank you for all the ways that you show your love to us. Help us to share it with others. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our gifts and as the choir sings, let us make this our own prayer. Lord, take my life. Let it be completely consecrated to you. Oh, Lord, as we present these gifts to you now, it is our prayer that you would take us, all that we have, use it for yourself, for your glory, for your purposes, your plan. Lord, we fall short of that, but that is our heart's desire. So, Lord, we pray that you would use all that we have given that others might know, not that we are great, but that you are great, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Fight the good fight. Is your Christian life a fight? Mine is. Sometimes it's a struggle. It takes great effort to do what God has called me to do, and yet I know that in Christ's strength, I can do all things. So as you go from this place, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit strengthen you, encourage you, give you hope, now and forevermore. Amen.